Oh, hey, y'all. It's me, Amy Grant. I just wanted to remind y'all that tickets are still on sale for Kevin and Caroline's Good Christian Fun live show, Heaven is for Reals, where they're going to be watching a movie and making goofs and yucks and jokes on it with a guest or two, at Rose City Church. It is this Saturday night, the 23rd. 7 p.m. They picked a movie that's less than 2 hours. It is easy breezy lemon squeezy. You know, they're going to have at least one or two guests. They did not ask me to be one of the guests, which I think is, like, pretty wild. I know I'm not a comedian. I feel like I could bring a lot to the table, though, y'all. I've worked in this business for, like, ever. I know stuff. I could bring this whole thing down if they wanted me to, but they just get me to do these bumpers, but it is my joy to do them. So I will not complain. But tickets are on sale now. Go to goodchristianfun.com/live and get them. And if you're on the fence about it, just think, what would I be doing anyway? Probably some version of this with my friends or family at home. But why not do it with a bunch of strangers and a couple of podcast hosts, y'all? Oh, it's so fun. Oh, and by the way, the movie is Heaven is for Real. It's got Margot Martindale in it, Greg Kinnear. It's going to be great, y'all. Oh, it's going to be great. Because it's, like, good enough that it's not, like, horrible, like The Room or like, Saving Christmas or somewhere. It's like, oh, this feels like punching down. But it's still not good enough to be good. Anyway, it's going to be hilarious. Oh, they got some really good guests or two lined up as well. So, goodchristianfun.com/live, and I'll see you there. I'm going to be taking tickets. They will not let me guest on it or even be an opener for the show. I'm going to be taking tickets at the door, which, you know, is kind of I know I'm supposed to have a servant's heart. It's kind of humiliating. I won't lie. It is humiliating. But you know what? It is my honor and my pleasure to serve, so I do it with a joyful heart. So we'll see you there Saturday, the 23rd, this week. Good Christian Fun Live, : Heaven is for Reals, : Heaven is for Real.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
First
month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun. One of our roommates, he was kind of paranoid and afraid that if we went outside on this particular night, he was going to get jumped by some people. He had a golf club to defend himself, and he said something to the effect of it being like putter mayhem. Scott looked at the golf bag he was holding and noting that it was a 5-iron said, "No, more like a 5-iron frenzy." The name stuck. So goes the very authentic and real-sounding origin story of 5-Iron Frenzy's namesake, as told by former bassist Keith Herring to JesusFreakHideout.net. Formed in 1995, 5-Iron Frenzy was part of the 90s Christian ska boom, most notably culminating in the triumvirate of 5-Iron Frenzy, the OC Supertones, and the Insiders. That's Insiders with a Z. While many faith-based artists navigated in the narrow lanes of contemporary Christian appeal, this 8-piece Colorado band strove to use music as more than a mere template for love songs to their savior, but also conversation starters and a lens of self-examination, including songs tackling hypocrisy within the church, xenophobia, homophobia, American genocide, patriotism, capitalism, and school shootings. School massacres were a particularly resonant topic, given that guitarist Micah Ortega's sister was a survivor of the Columbine High School shooting in 1999 in Littleton, Colorado, leading the band to write the song A New Hope. And unlike their peers, the Frenzy has endured. After a slow 5-album transition from a ska band to rock band with horns, 5-Iron put the clubs back in the golf bag in 2003, taking a long hiatus until their Kickstarter campaign in 2011, with a $30,000 goal that was met within an hour of posting, ultimately raising over $200,000. They put out their first album in a decade in 2013, and have toured intermittently ever since. I forgot to put jokes into this intro. So, we listened to 5-Iron Frenzy, specifically their debut album, Upbeats and Beatdowns, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
We don't really have a tagline, do we?
A tagline?
Yeah.
Poops and peas only.
That's what I'm saying.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline, and this is where we do poops and peas only.
Only. We don't do anything in between. We are very binary. You listen, we will not be...
There is no spectrum.
But... we're here to have some good Christian fun. Caroline, what is good Christian fun?
Good Christian fun is a podcast where we talk about ye old Christian pop culture. There's quite a bit of it.
Ye old Christian.
Yeah.
It used to be that Christian art was the best art. Look at the Renaissance.
Look at the Sistine Chapel.
And now... Now
that
really struck a chord.
Poops and peas only.
Now it's poops and peas only. No, that's not true.
That's not true. There's some good stuff, but we watch the movies, we listen to the music, mm-hmm. we listen to some of the comedians, speakers, books, and so on.
Yeah.
There's quite a wealth to talk about, and we like to have some fun with it.
We'll never run out. We'll never run out of stuff.
I don't think we can.
We've joked about running out. Here's what I think will truly happen. We'll run out of the nostalgic touch points where, like, if it felt like 20 listeners mm-hmm. wrote in and said, like, do Salty, do
right.
5-Iron Frenzy in this case. We'll run out of those, and then we'll transition to new stuff, and then everyone will stop listening.
Yes, or so
we'll
obscure
have to quit
that
the show.
It's just like, no
like,
try
ooh,
it.
This feels too dark.
And then all VeggieTales fan fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, if that's what this turned into, I'm here for the ride.
If you haven't been to LarryCucumber.tumblr.jizz, I can't recommend it enough. But listen, we're not here to preach to you or make you go to church. We're not here to proselytize to you, but we're not here to bash your religion either. Mm-hmm. We're not here to make fun of your faith. Caroline and I are Christians ourselves, but we want to walk that line and make a show that ends up pleasing nobody.
That's right.
So this is Good Christian Fun. Caroline, we'll start the show how we often do. How is your heart?
My heart is good this week.
Yeah.
I got a couple events coming up that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a chalk festival on Saturday.
That's right. Come out and support it. Just kidding. This comes out 4 days after.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. We're doing a large scale chalk mural, and hundreds of artists in Pasadena all get together to do it at the same time. It's very fun. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then, you and our friend Chelsea crushed it last year. It was a very beautiful
piece.
Yeah,
it was our first time. Now we're doing a second time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
maybe Christian art can be the best art again.
We're literally just copying someone else's art.
It's just you just did a cross last year.
It's
for
like
the listener at home.
It's like a Minions fanfic, basically.
Right, but it's Christ on the cross, but instead of Roman soldiers, it was Kevin and
so here's,
all the other Minions.
Here's the question. And can I talk yet? Here's the question. If this is a VeggieTales Minions / fic.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And it's Larry the Cucumber
and Bob
the Minion.
Yeah.
Who's the top and who's the bottom?
Oh my. Well.
I'm sorry.
The bottom?
Interesting.
I think Bob's a low key top. He's a power top.
It is interesting that they're both similar shapes, but just one's a little squatter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're talking about Minions and Larry.
Yeah. Bob the Minion and Larry the Cucumber, right?
Yeah, that was what I was talking about.
Yeah, I was thinking the tomato. Right.
Oh,
is
I'm
Bob
so sorry.
Also the tomato?
Yeah, yeah. We can throw him in the mix.
Well, then he'll be jealous.
Yeah,
Larry.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
They've had years of a good relationship, thank you. So my heart's good. How's your heart, Kevin?
My heart's doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. We had a fun recording session last night.
Yes, where
we banged out a few apps in a row.
Yeah, for second service.
We're doing three within 24 hours, but you know, instead of feeling exhausted, I feel invigorated.
Oh, same.
I feel invigorated for
me too.
The topic at hand. Yeah. And the topic at hand this week is a little band called Five Iron Frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
Had you heard any Five Iron Frenzy before this episode?
If I did, it was like literally, you know, coming from the side of an ear far away. I know the band, I'd heard the name, but no, beyond that, not a lot of familiarity.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll get into our familiarity with it, but we need a special guest to help us do it, so let's introduce that special guest right now. He's the author of many a Minion and VeggieTales fanfic, also a writer on At Midnight and Unikitty on the Cartoon Network and the podcast Jordan Jesse Go and Bubble. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Jordan Morris! Thank you.
Hello.
What an intro. I will not be living up to that.
We tried it.
Never forget
your
place.
We want to set our guests up for failure. Come on now. Meet the expectations. Jordan, thank you so much
for
joining us.
Make it seem like you're making fun of them.
He's got a great career.
Yeah, we
like to bring kind of a bully energy to our
listeners. Right, can't hear the whooshing of the sardonic air quotes coming off my fingies.
Feeling so negged. Oh, boy.
Hey, listen, there's game theory, but you do not want to mess with Christian game theory.
Yeah, geez.
It's a whole different thing.
Not with those fingies.
My youth pastor taught me all about it. Then said, let me smell.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. That's right. No, that's a different guy.
He did, though.
My actual youth pastor, I would say, kind of like spiritually harassed me.
Yeah. Mm.
That guy, the smell your fingies guy up in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Different guy altogether. I kind of liked him.
What do you think he's doing these days?
I don't know, probably slaughtering pigs left and right, as was the act that got him kicked out of the...
Whoa.
That would be a fun segment on this show. Check in on your old youth pastor.
Okay,
I had
youth
to block
pastors,
him on Facebook.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Youth pastors and sports coaches, shout out to all those who are listeners who have these jobs, but man, a lot of times they were not good.
Yeah.
They were a little messed up.
Yeah, high likelihood of creepiness, I would say.
Or just anger.
And I'm sure there's also delightful, good-hearted people who get into those
sure,
jobs.
But the sure.
One, yeah. But
just upon looking back, I'm like, wow, I spent a lot of time with those people as a kid.
Yeah. And
that was weird.
And their shorts were very short.
But we do want to
focus
on the
positive. Why were they hanging out with teenagers wearing those shorts?
Yeah.
If you had a good youth group experience at all, write into us and tell us all about it, because all of mine were very mixed at best.
Yeah. I didn't even really have one, because I just skipped it and went to Christian school all day, which
Hell
was like
yeah.
one long youth group all the time.
Ooh, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. I am excited.
Oh,
we're excited to have you.
Yeah.
So we would love to know your background.
Yes.
With Christianity or Christian pop culture.
Sure.
Or just faith in general and how yeah. you grew up and where you came from with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Happy to chat about that.
Please.
It's a little outside my comfort zone, so you'll forgive a little bit of nervous energy.
No, you're doing
Do you feel
good.
Like
you'll
it's
notice
been a
my,
while?
At the top, my go-to is to make a gross joke. So
okay. All right. Just know that's coming, and then eventually well, something like
know,
a little
gonna
soft is going
to
come
gonna
out
try
there.
And I'm gonna try and not listen to my instincts for now and try and be a little bit sincere.
Do you feel like the nervousness comes from not having talked about it in a while?
I think so. Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Well, you're very safe with us. Carry on.
Yes, there's a nice cat in here
yeah.
that
We're
I can
nice.
Look to for some security.
That's right.
You're not. You two of you seem nice.
You only bully
really
someone
nice.
If you know them. You know,
there,
and
yeah,
if you love
there you
them.
Go. Nobody makes
Caroline
fun of my
has taught
brother,
me over and over again.
Right.
So feel free to start from the beginning
sure,
or
yeah.
wherever you like.
So growing up, as I did in Orange County, California, mm-hmm. The place. Will be important.
Yes.
We were kind of a, for most of my childhood, we were kind of a Christmas and Easter family. Mm-hmm. There's like an acronym for that, isn't there?
I think they call them
Creaster. Creasters. Yeah, yeah. We were a bunch of Creasters.
Yeah.
I think that's a Bjork song.
Creaster.
There,
she's
like, Creaster over there. Excuse me.
And so, yeah, and then, you know, we had some just kind of vague, like, yeah, like God's great. Like there were a couple of precious moments figures around the house mm-hmm. that I gleaned some, you know, morals from.
You got the majority of your theology from precious.
Yeah,
moments.
Precious moments. I just kind of assess their vibe, and I'm like, I should live like this.
Oh my God, you know, I should have big droopy eyes
yeah.
when things go bad.
Blue-eyed blonde boy number two really taught me about the power of integrity.
I should hold a puppy kind of wrong. Not by his front legs.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then and you know, like I would have you know my when I would do like a sleepover at a friend's house. Sometimes we would like go to church with the other family in the morning.
Yeah, which so is always get, a weird experience.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But then the dad would make waffles, and sometimes they would put ice cream on them. That's how they did it at the Gaspar's house.
Oh, Gaspar's.
Shouts out.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They listen every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I come
over?
We've
been waiting.
Yeah. Hi, Rod.
Rod Gaspar.
Yeah.
That's not
that
a
the dad. That
made
was
up
the dad
name?
Of the family.
Great name.
Who we would
Rod
go to church
Gaspar.
With, and he would make waffles with ice cream, and he also did not believe dinosaurs existed.
Ever.
Oh, okay.
Which dinosaurs is an interesting,
was
yeah.
really tough for me. Like that was my first crisis of faith. Was like, but dinosaurs.
So for him, Jurassic
coolest.
Park is a real piece of fiction.
It sure is. And to me, it was real. It was
Son,
real
sometimes life doesn't find a
How
way.
How did that
yeah,
come
yeah,
up?
Right. I think just because I had so much dinosaur stuff as a kid. My Aww. Mom like painted them on my wall. Like
yeah.
I loved to go to the museum and like. You know, all of my like clothes were from the museum gift shop. I felt like for a while, I just dressed
awesome.
In exclusively Stegosaurus clothes, like probably a little too old.
Love it.
So yeah, like, and you know, I probably had something like that on, and he like would explain to me that you know the world's only 2,000 years old, and dinosaurs are a creation of the museum industry. The museum
oh,
industry.
Wow.
Oh yeah, big
I still
museum.
Remember, yeah,
so
big
cool
museum.
Obvious.
Big
wow.
steel, big oil, big pharma.
The museum
and
industry.
Big dino.
Big
well, that's
natural
where the money's
history.
At, you know?
Oh, those museum docents are raking
oh
it
my
in.
Oh gosh. I do
with that
love
blood money.
They've all got jets.
Imagine an innocent child wearing animal apparel
adorable.
As a spark for a skeptical father to bring some truth. You know, big dogs don't really exist.
Oh, no fear. Interesting. Try fear God.
Okay.
I've never even met a crime dog, much less pet one.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
So you went to church
so, yeah,
sometimes
so we
with
were,
friends.
Yeah, so we were
okay,
occasional,
yeah.
But then kind of when I got to high school, all of my friends did cool youth groups.
Oh, okay.
Very big in Orange County at the time. Like very, you know, like, you know. So the grown-ups are going to big church, and we're going to go, you know.
To skateboard church.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yes, skateboard church. And it was called, I remember the first one I went to was called The Underground,
yes.
and they had all sorts of fake graffiti on
yes.
the wall. and like.
But if you look closely, like it's all Bible verses.
Right. Exactly. Sure. Exactly. Yeah.
Now it would be called like Lit for Jesus or something.
Right. Yeah. Dabbing for Christ.
Yeah.
Christian AF.
Yeah. Yes.
Jesus dabbed Christian, for your yeah, sins.
Jesus is bae.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We're ancient. Okay.
The Pharisees had me like.
Yeah. Okay. So you're
and
so
it's like SpongeBob.
So it was kind of predicated on like some social.
Yeah. And so
fitting
but, and
in.
So you know like that. And so, you know, I definitely wanted to, like, hang out with the friends. And, you know, kind of the rhetoric of these, they don't sell it to you like a church. It is kind of like, hey, I do this cool thing on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. And I just hang out. And we watch movies. And
oh, yeah.
We're going to watch all the Back to the Future movies. And it's cool. And, like, you know, there's these guys who will talk to us. And we just talk about life. You know, and that's the sell.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, that absolutely worked on me. Mm. And, yeah, so then I started, like, hip youth grouping. And also a big selling point to me was that the youth group would have punk shows on the weekend. Like, they would have punk and ska bands, which was also a kind of blossoming interest of mine.
Sure. Well, what time period was this?
So this was like 1995 through 2000.
The golden age.
The golden age. The golden age of music.
Yeah.
I like
well, also
to say.
Orange mm-hmm. County had like a big ska scene for some reason.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think you know Orange County. You know, you had your No Doubts. You had your Real Big Fishes.
Right.
You had your Save Ferris's.
Was Less Than Jake OC?
Less Than Jake is Florida.
Okay.
Gainesville.
Yeah, OC Supertones. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
Just ask me where any ska band is from. I probably know.
Mighty Mighty Box Tones.
Well, come on. Boston. Come on.
Skank
come on.
Pickle.
Boston Zone. Bay Area. Berkeley.
Oh, okay. That
wow.
makes sense.
These are real. I'm actually answering
yeah.
these.
Yeah, you are. I know.
So
yeah. they would just host bands like on Friday
so,
night.
Yeah, so they would have
group?
All, you know, all Christian bands kind of like, you know, OC Supertones were a big one. I think they even went to that church.
Oh, cool.
And then, yeah, and then there was a hardcore band called Project 86. And
I remember
went to,
that band.
You remember Project 86? Mm-hmm. I went to high school with Randy Torres from Project 86. We messaged on Facebook the other day.
And he said,
I don't know you.
Stop.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you were like really in this moment.
Totally, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I remember not feeling very like educated about the Bible or Christianity, like mm-hmm. having that, you know, kind of Creaster level knowledge in my head,
right.
but like really, really being moved by those like youth group moments. And, you know, and
do you remember any in particular that like set into your head?
Gosh.
Yeah, like a youth group moment being hanging out with friends or
yeah,
like a sermon like, that the pastor would give.
God, I don't remember specifics. It is all like very feeling based, like really, like,
yeah.
really like tugged at my heartstrings
yeah.
and like. You know, and the fellowship was very beautiful, and it, like, seemed like everybody had such a good heart, and everyone, like, you know, these were all, like, great, you know, people who wanted to do good, and they went on trips, and they dug irrigation ditches, and yeah, and it was really, like, it really, really won me over, and, you know, I think I had some misgivings about, like, the Bible's a little weird. Like, was there a flood? And, you know, but then there's
yeah.
also the like, maybe there's some social issues that maybe I don't agree. Really? We're not going to read Harry Potter? You know, like
yeah,
those kinds
exactly.
of like, well, can we talk about gay people real quick? I
yeah,
want to
like,
be clear on where you stand, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember the denomination of the church?
It was I think it was Baptist.
Okay.
But yeah, but I, you know, and I was kind of able to kind of table that stuff in my mind
mm-hmm.
because I did like love the, you know, feeling in the community and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
were your parents at the time, were they like into the fact that you're going to youth group, or they were like, this is a little extreme?
Yeah, they liked it. I think
okay.
they were into it. I thought they, mm-hmm. you know, they were definitely, they, yeah, I think they were rightly kind of liked it, that it was going to steer me farther away from like doing anything with drugs or sex or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did. And I think it definitely like, you know, made me not do a lot of that in high school, which I absolutely did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think partially for religious reasons and then partially just because of being a terrified kid who
yeah.
had the DARE program and then like a lot of AIDS talk in school, a lot of general, you know, like, hey guys, like everyone's getting AIDS and like
that's
you probably will as
very
well.
Scary.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Wow.
So I think that like, yeah, kind of that kind of fear plus, you know, this kind of like the great feeling I got from the youth group stuff, like really, really, yeah, like really, really, that kind of combination of things was like, oh, this is great. This really feels terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and definitely like a big part of that, like something that really made me feel great about that choice in that time period was like Five Iron Frenzy, because they were so good. And like as you joked about it up top, but Christian art, especially stuff around that time, was so bad. Like, really, the fact that there was this kind of cool band who had a kind of a gray area approach to the songwriting and like sounded like, you know, other you know, weren't just like the corny strip mall version of something that was cool, but like actually had a cool sound that was harder to distinguish from a secular band. It really, I don't know, it was a real cool, like, hey, like, I really love what these guys are singing about, and they seem wonderful.
Yeah.
I say guys, I know there's a woman in the band, I'll say that. I'm just using guys.
Jeff the girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, I think they were always a big comfort to me when I was feeling a little bit weird about it, because like, I don't know, they really, like,
just like, if these cool people are in on this, then like there must be something to
it. Yeah, and they did, like, and I think they do sing a lot about having weird feelings about the culture of Christianity, which
totally.
I think, yeah, and I think that's, that. God, that was like, I never felt like anybody was talking about, like, hey, does anyone feel a little weird about this?
Yeah.
Like, can we talk about the stuff that we're unsure about? It always kind of felt like you weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
It felt like if you were supposed to say, like, you know, if you wanted to say, hey, I don't agree, can we talk about the thing, the Harry Potter thing? You know, you know, like, can we talk? It seems like no one wanted to. And like, yeah, and the fact that there was this band who was kind of like singing about it, it was really cool. And it made me feel like, okay, you don't have to be sure all the time. You can enjoy the gray area and, you know, just kind of like trust faith and it'll all work out. So it was kind of like, yeah, it felt like their songs were kind of permission to feel like you didn't have it all figured out anyway.
Totally. Do you feel like there was other bands or music from that time that had a similar effect on you, or was it really just Five Iron Frenzy?
They were, I mean, I liked going to shows. Mm-hmm. Like, so as a kid who didn't drink or do drugs or do sex, if you wanted to stay out late, you were either like seeing a band or goofing around at a Denny's.
Sure.
So it was, these were
so
the two.
So many Denny's trips in high
Christians
school.
Christians love Denny's.
We love it.
Denny's is the spot.
Three buddies of mine, I participated for half of it, but three buddies of mine said, you know what? Let's do something fun. Let's stay at this Denny's for 24 hours straight.
Yes!
And they did.
Gross.
Yeah.
God.
Yes. Kingwood, Texas.
God, I was all about that stuff in high school. That, like, I mean, we don't drink, but we're pretty random.
We're so random.
Okay, let's all go into this Blockbuster one by one and ask for a movie that doesn't exist.
Oh my God.
And the dude behind the counter will
just
be freaking
so
out.
Confused. And then the next day, they filed for bankruptcy because of
was
that
prank.
It was
the wave of pranksters has ruined us.
I will say, to like the positive note of that kind of like joking sentiment, I do agree that like the legalism of it sometimes, like you said, kind of does keep you from some nonsense.
Sure.
Some of it, I think, is obviously so overboard and has a generally negative effect and teaches you morality in a way that's not helpful later in life.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it, I do feel like, teaches you creativity and imagination in ways of
like fun beyond these things.
If you're not just going to like get wasted every night, okay, well, you have to be kind of creative of like, well, shit, what do we do?
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's a nice sentiment to continue to have.
Right.
Yeah. Even, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
writing
I know
the
exactly
line
what
between
you're saying. Yeah,
legalism
I feel like
and license.
That like sets you up for maybe a bit of a better adulthood in some ways, or like, not that there's any right way or anything, but I feel like it did keep me from stuff that would have been like harmful to me, to my young brain.
Sure.
Whereas now I feel like, having kind of grown up in a similar culture, is that now you can look at things like alcohol as like useful and fun in particular areas, but not extraordinarily attractive in others, because it was never a part of my... And everyone experiences that differently.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a slingshot and then you just...
Yeah, like, I need to try it all.
Sure.
Yeah, it totally becomes a part of, like, socializing. And, like, learning how to have a nice time and socialize without that other stuff, I think, is totally valuable.
Yeah.
But look at me now. I can pound these all day.
He's got bottle of
whiskey.
It's
a Colt 45.
This is a zero-calorie cream soda called Zevia.
With Zevia.
Okay, there's an artificial sweetener in there, so you're going to want to slow down.
No, yeah. I've been bad. Okay, so that was high school?
Yeah, so that was high school. Okay. Yeah, and it was like mostly great throughout high school, and it was, you know, and I can remember getting into college.
Did you get quote-unquote saved when you were in high school, too?
Boy, yeah, I don't remember the specific time, but yeah, I definitely remember in one of those youth groups saying, like, who wants to accept Christ? And right. I, like, went down and prayed, and everybody applauded. And that being like a great feeling, like that feeling like totally amazing. So yeah, and it was kind of just a process of believing it and learning more about it, but also like having some parts about it that felt weird and, you know, but kind of like, you know, just trying to trust or like think, oh, this is part of faith. Like it is, you know, you don't have to, you know, I don't know. So I don't, it was, yeah, it felt like a test, you know, it felt like how bad is this going to bug you? Probably shouldn't bug you too much, you know.
Which part?
Oh, you know, I guess just like the parts of it that seemed weird to me, mm-hmm. like the social issue part and the world is only 2,000 years old and, you know, dinosaurs are fake stuff.
The, like, unmitigated attacks on science
yes.
part.
Yeah, there you go.
Say goodbye to raptors.
There you go.
Sure, which
I don't wanna. They were real.
I don't wanna.
They're coming back.
They're fun. I'm gonna ride
There's
one.
A mosquito encased in amber somewhere.
Good God. Grief. How can you look at Laura Dern's face in 1993 and not want that to be real?
Sure. Ugh. What, do you want the rapture to come more than that? I
come
don't.
On. Come
That's
on.
No
I
fun.
Want the raptor.
Okay, so the, yeah, so the logic.
Oh, that's great. They do sound similar.
Started bumping up.
So,
and then
yeah. So
college maybe so then, it trailed off
so
a little
yeah,
bit.
So, yeah. So, then college came, and I went to UC Santa Cruz.
Nice.
Which is.
Go Slugs.
Go Banana Slugs. Mm-hmm. World's worst mascot. slightly poisonous if ingested.
Is that truly the mascot?
Yeah, banana the banana
slugs.
Slug.
Yeah.
They like.
They're kind of random there, too.
They're a little random. we're kind of twisted
that
over
feels
here.
Feels like a community joke or something. It's the banana
slug?
I think it was like the student body voted on it or something. And of course, you don't give students any voting rights. It's
right,
just
yeah. I think there's a Simpsons joke where Principal Skinner says, everyone proceed to the Butthead Memorial Auditorium. It's like, we shouldn't let the students name that one.
That's great.
So yeah, and I kind of tried to like do their kind of campus youth groups there.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask. Right,
yeah, and you know, and it was kind of like, and that was the place, that was the first time I had ever felt a little bit nervous or afraid to say I was a Christian because people were very against it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And so that was a weird feeling because I think previously I had gotten like nothing but acceptance from it. Like people being excited and my parents loving that I wanted to do it. And like, you know, this great group of friends.
Clapping
and this, like,
for you when you
yeah,
were saying
yeah, and this like 25-year-old with tattoos who can play a U2 song on his guitar like high-fived me. And it like felt great. Yeah. And said we were going to go to, maybe we'll go surfing later. And you know, and that was, and I remember feeling like, uh-oh, like this is not popular here. Like this is like, it's kind of even a bad word. But then I started going to the like campus youth group stuff, and boy, I did not like those people. Oh boy, they were real.
Yeah, what was that like there?
How did they feel? I would say, how did they feel different from your friends in youth group? In high
yes,
school?
They were not joyful.
Okay,
I would say that they were bitter, and I think it, you know, part of it was partially that culture that I talked about of like people being very cranky to you if you said you were a Christian
so
and you
like,
were going
we're against
to church.
Everybody here.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So I think they kind of took on, you know, that weighed on them very hard because I remember going like, wow, these people aren't happy. They are not having any fun, and they didn't even like. It would be one thing if like. We all afterwards went to Denny's and like messed around, but boy, nobody was. It kind of just felt like these sticks in the muds complaining. And then, you know, I remember I was on like a mass email with them. And one of the, gosh, I don't even know how to explain this correctly. I had not gone to one of the meetings, but I got the mass email about it afterwards. And it was this guy apologizing for saying that he thought masturbation was okay if it was being used as stress relief. And then everybody jumping on this guy. I'm like, what did I miss? Why were they talking about that?
What was a terrible thing to miss.
And in my brain, this guy was sticking up for masturbation, but as long as it wasn't sexual, as long as it was pure stress relief, I don't know what you're supposed to fantasize about.
Maybe he was just like, it was finals week and he was just jerking it. And people were like, hey, don't do that. And he was like, back off. I'm stressed.
It's a release. So it sounds like the high school stuff was marked by, I assume, probably close friendships.
Yes.
And a lot of like, joy and positive emotion.
Silliness. Right.
And maybe some of the college stuff was, well, we're getting in the weeds here of like, well, actually, if you read the blah, blah, blah.
Sure, yeah.
And so it became maybe technical in a way.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's a good way to put it. It wasn't about like emotion and community and golden rule stuff. It was about, how can we convince our professors that the Dead Sea Scrolls are real? And it's like, I don't know, you know, we can't probably.
Yeah.
It just kind of stopped. It stopped being a comfort and was this kind of weird, you know, source of stress. Mm-hmm. And I think it was around that time. I mean, it's probably, you know, also just because college and liberal college, like the social issue stuff really started to bother me. I remember going to church with my family when I was like home for my first summer,
mm-hmm.
and them, you know, doing this big thing about how like they're going to collect all the Harry Potter books and then, you know, and a thing about how like, well, I mean, that's Africa's not Christian. That's why there's so much AIDS, and just being like, oh my God, you know, and just like kind of feeling like, oh, I need to take a break from this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I remember after that thing, I wrote the pastor of the church a big email about like, hey, that AIDS, you maybe shouldn't have said that AIDS, because here's what, I mean, you know.
Props to you for doing that. By
yeah.
The way.
That's never got a response thing. From him. I really remember that, but like, this guy doesn't even want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, I remember that as being, God, and that might have been the last, like,
last
time
stroke
I earnestly attended church.
Oh,
a
last
time
you went to church. Huh?
Yeah. So, yeah, it kind of just, and it wasn't ever a thing where I, like, punted my Bible off a balcony or anything, and...
But now that you're thinking about it.
But now that I'm thinking about it, you do
fun.
Have a lovely balcony.
Thank you, yeah, it's nice and high.
We should punt something off it.
Yeah.
Maybe not something glass.
Hey,
symbolically.
Scampi.
No, not Scampi!
No! Hey, never heard a cat. Don't even joke about that.
Scampi's not even Christian. It wouldn't mean anything.
How do you know?
I'm a Unitarian at best.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're a bad cat mom.
I know.
Get the cat saved.
I'm working on
Save
it.
The cat.
Save the
it's
cat.
It's a screenwriting
it's
book
about
for a reason.
It's about evangelizing pets. Save
not about...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Pet evangelism.
She's not okay.
So, yeah. So, I think I never had a moment where I am like, I don't believe any... And it's all fake, but I'm just like, phew, boy, the like culture of this feels a little poisonous to me. So yeah, I kind of just kind of let it slide out of my life, mm-hmm. and yeah, I think kind of here we are.
Yeah,
and I'll still let go. My stepdad Brad plays trombone in his church band.
Hell
I thought you were gonna say in Five Iron Frenzy.
It's Five Iron Frenzy.
Like,
yes,
nice.
my stepdad Brad moonlights in a lot of ska bands.
Is awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, so I'll go with them occasionally, and yeah.
What's it feel like when you go there now?
It feels good. Feels like good. I still like, you know, all the songs feel nice, and like I was gonna say, I've been so seldomly, but I have in the times I've been in the past couple years, I haven't heard something that's made me go, oh, come on, really? You know,
yeah,
it's been kind of nice and down the middle, and like,
sure,
you know, here's what the Bible, we can learn this lesson from the Bible, and here's what's, you know, and it all seems nice and like kind of easy to agree with, mm-hmm. like, nothing has made me feel like. Really? Are we? I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
so.
And reminded you of like, oh, this can be really upsetting.
Totally. Yes, exactly. So, I don't know. And I think the ones I'm going to are probably more new person friendly and
sure.
more down the middle. So,
sure.
Anyways, but yeah, but I all of my experiences with it have felt good. So it's not something that I have like a, I don't like
hostility.
Drive by a church or, you yeah. know, hear a worship song and like feel icky. I feel good. And like for the most part, I remember those good feelings I got
yeah.
from it about the community and the friends and stuff like that. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's not something that I'm not compelled to do it on a regular basis anymore, I guess.
Yeah. It doesn't sound so much like a wound for you. It's just kind of irrelevant.
Maybe yeah. Maybe ways. That's a good way to put it. Sure. Anyway.
And I do find it funnily coincidental that it feels like probably your most active time, and it was also probably the most active time for ska bands
right.
to exist.
Yes, exactly. I know.
Because it was a flash in the pan. It was so
sure
quick.
Was. Yeah, sure. It was like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then they all turned into swing bands.
Swing bands or rock bands?
Yeah, yeah. Or like alternative. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah,
no,
thank
I'm
you.
Happy
you
too. It was fun great. To talk about. Yes. Thanks.
Yeah.
How was my poise?
Very good.
Very excellent.
You look like a ballerina over there.
Thank you. And I only mentioned masturbation once. Look at that.
Oh, but I don't think it's going to be the last time we mention it on the show.
We got a five sure. mark every time.
Yeah. We got a song for you.
A song?
Let's dive in.
Oh, yeah. Come on, let's go.
Five Iron Frenzy. This is a band that people have wanted us to talk about pretty much since we started the show.
Yes.
So I think it's a band that still remains for most people very precious in their hearts.
Yes.
Like even when they remove themselves from all the like emotion at the time or in youth group or in high school, it still exists as something you can revisit and not feel trauma,
right?
I think.
Sure,
or like,
yeah.
Oh wow, that was messed
or like,
up.
Like, I really
holy
don't
shit.
Agree with any of this anymore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It feels like a rare gem, I think, for a uh-huh. lot of people. I think it's true of some of our subjects that we've done before, but it feels special to people in particular.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of give a shout out to that.
Yeah,
totally.
And I'll say my personal history with the band too was it was, and I was a listener of just mainstream general market contemporary Christian music, which was like the more bland.
A Jars of Clay.
A Jars of Clay, a Newsboys, a DC Talk.
Oh, Newsboys. Switch
Shine.
Switchfoot?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which Switchfoot, I would they were the only ones that I feel like could do general market radio stuff.
Yeah.
But then also have some of the gray without as much of the explicit gray
sure.
of like a Five Iron Frenzy.
Right.
Because they're not all just like, this is it, we figured it out, bye. You know, mm-hmm. they're a lot of their music is conversation. But Five Iron Frenzy, I remember my brother was really into their EP, Quantity is Job One.
Oh, Quantity is Job One is very good.
Yes. So that was the first one I listened to. And then I got into our newest album ever.
Yep.
I got into Live Proof the Youth Are Revolting.
Sure.
And All the Hype Money Can Buy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Five Iron Frenzy 2 Electric Boogaloo, never listened to. And that really marked their transition from a ska punk band into kind of an alternative rock band with horns.
I re-listened. I've gone deep on this.
I've not been
so excited to record a podcast in a while. I've done a lot of ancillary work.
Yes.
Well, I should say Jordan was the one who suggested this topic, mm-hmm. which I don't think we would have done if he didn't,
yeah,
knowing how
I'm
much
so
it
glad
means
you
to
did.
People. Yeah.
Because I've spent maybe a day and a half just in Five Iron Frenzy world, mm-hmm. and trying to just like understand what this means to everyone. And it means so much.
Sure.
And so I'm very glad that you're here to just speak like as a fan of what this was like for you.
What did you listen to as a cool Christian teen?
Oh, I listened to 70s jams and like swing music, literally.
Sure. Not Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, but whatever.
No,
the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Glenn Miller.
She was a hip on Zoot Suit, right? Like the cool kids were.
Oh, they're a bunch of copycats anyway. But yeah, and then just beyond that, like pop music, like Nelly Furtado and Avril Lavigne or whatever. Yeah.
So you didn't have a Christian music diet?
No, yeah. We've talked about this a little bit before, but like I heard some stuff just because of Christian school mostly,
sure.
but I wasn't super into it. And my parents, who I think usually are the ones who like hand down your Christian music education to you, they weren't into it either. So I just sort of like missed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear why I'm hosting the show, but I am here anyway.
No, you're more than qualified to host this show.
Thank you, Kevin.
You often act as an audience surgeote sometimes when stuff is new.
I think I will with this one because this was kind of a first time for me to hear all their stuff and like understand what they're like.
So when you were going down memory lane this week, what'd you get back into?
Boy, yeah, re-listen to our I emailed you like, is it newest album ever so good?
It's so good.
Two Electric Boogaloo,
mm-hmm.
and I remember like that came out while I was in college, and I'm like, I think I'm still into Five Iron Frenzy. I maybe am not a church guy anymore, but I'm still gonna like keep up with Five Iron Frenzy, and I'm like, mm-hmm. boy, this one's a little rough. This one is
really?
There's a lot of big swings on Two Electric Boogaloo. There is a song called The Day We Killed Crazy Horse, which is very similar themes to their magnum opus Old West.
Yes.
And it is like a nu metal song. like, ooh, like what? There's like a, it is like a not quite Limp Bizkit style. He doesn't rap, but there's a lot of screaming over
grooves.
Because
they started as a metal group.
I think so,
yeah.
I think
and then one of them, or a couple of them got really into ska.
Yeah.
And then.
This is the day we kill.
Yeah. And it still has the horns. It's so goofy.
Weird.
But you know what? This reminds me of Springsteen's albums post Born in the USA.
Okay.
So
That's what they were. Maybe I didn't understand the reference.
Well, no, not musically, but just conceptually. I feel like before then, the horns were such like an integral part of the counter melodies and stuff, and they were so beautifully done, honestly, like on a melodic level. In the same way that Clarence Clemons was so part of the iconography,
of
the big man, and sax solo. And after Born in the USA, he was just like, I don't really... Even on Born in the USA, it's like, I don't really care about this. And he'd like throw him one every now and again, like on The Rising or whatever. But it felt like, well, you're in the band, so here's a line for you to play. And so it felt like on these post All the Hype albums, it was kind of similar.
Yeah, there's some Moog, there's some strings, there's some weird string stuff. Yeah. There's like a couple weird joke songs. I mean, they have a couple of joke songs, which I like. I mean, I'm not a monster. I like O Canada, okay?
Sure.
Like, that's,
yeah. O Canada's great!
O Canada's great! but there's the first one is called Pre-Ex Girlfriend, and it's just about a girl who's going to break up with him. It's so goofy.
Oh,
anyway.
Gosh.
Or even Cannonball, the lead track off of The End Is Here, or The End Is Near.
They
changed the names.
I kind of like Cannonball.
Well, I was going to say that the harmonies that the lead vocalists are doing remind me of kind of emo bands.
Yeah,
from around that era. Like maybe a My Chemical Romance situation and things of that nature.
On. Sure.
And then that was their last album. So it was it was Upbeats and Beatdowns, the one we're going to talk about today.
Yep.
Newest album ever. EP, Quantity Is Job One. All the Hype. Then Electric Boogaloo, then The End Is Here, and then they were done until their 2013 album, which again was just like more alternative rock.
Yeah.
But this meant a great deal to me. I just totally fell off like I did with most Christian music, but it also coincided with like that album just wasn't that good. But All the Hype, I remember poring over the liner notes and reading the lyrics.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember thinking the These Are Not My Pants rock opera on Quantity's Job One was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life. Like when they're doing the unnecessary bleeping before Kimmel was doing it, you guys. Ripped off Five Iron Friends.
Like
that stuff was fun and funny. And I like Reese Roper's voice. I think
I do
a good
too.
Voice.
He's got a great voice.
But yeah, suffice
he not,
to say.
He maybe shouldn't rap metal scream. I think we can, but. Okay.
No,
well,
no.
My
I concur. Oh, okay. No, that's of agreement. Yeah.
But boy, yeah, like his like punk voice is great, and he like he can croon a little bit. I love his range.
Yeah, like it's not unusual the Tom Jones cover they do on All the Hype.
I love
like
that.
A very nice middle
they
ground.
They do that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I want to hear that.
And it sounds good.
They also maybe Quantity's Job One also has that Sweet Talking Woman cover.
Oh, that's right.
That's a very good song.
Just like a kind of ska
inflected. Oh,
which they done the live album, then redid on All the Hype. It's not unusual to be loved. I think it works.
Yeah, they're doing an impression on that.
Like he's using kind of a jokey voice. And this is what I appreciate about the band, I think, when I was a kid. Because this album came out when I was 10, and I got it.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
But I appreciated that they seemed to be pretty fluid and mobile between this, like, super just... straight across the plate, this is a joke song. Like, when I go out, I get in my cars. Like that stuff.
Yeah.
As well as, let's talk about colonialism. Let's talk about racism. They did the Ska Against Racism tour in 98.
I saw them on the Ska Against Racism tour.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I mean, that was great because that was, I mean, that like, God, I felt like so justified in liking them because they like toured with those cool secular bands.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they like talked about on stage about how much they liked them. And I'm like, hey, these guys are engaging with the culture outside of Christianity.
Yeah, they're like a part of this organization that had nothing to do with the church or anything.
And I always think they had like, they got a lot of respect from like secular bands in that scene, which was nice. Uh-huh. I think they put out a little disc on Asian Man Records, maybe.
They did.
Which is not
they
a
did.
Christian
yeah.
record
right,
label.
Right, okay.
And so that was a great tour. They were there. I think the Mad Caddies were on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike Park of Bruce Lee Band's... Oh, Skank and Pickles Bruce Lee Band was on that tour.
Guys, it is so funny that Skank and Pickles is ending races.
I know. Like, good for them.
The whole concept is so funny.
It's over now.
Well, if you notice, yeah, it's gone.
They fixed it.
So every time you eat a pickle, you better thank
them. No, I do. I
racism.
Thank them. I thank them very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pickle. You're welcome. What are you doing to me?
Oh, yeah. What a good time.
But upbeats and beatdowns,
yes,
I wasn't that familiar with, except for the songs that... of it that appeared on the live album.
Right.
Like A Flowery Song and Zero Meets 15. I will say, though, kind of maybe debuting a new segment we can do. Let's do a new segment that we're going to call... Grand Slam Corner. Grand Slam Corner, where we cover all our bases. So here's the deal.
Okay.
And I hope this doesn't come off as like snarky or insincere or negative.
No, not at all.
In any way. But in the past on the show, we've done a few topics for which we maybe weren't as informed about certain things and then couldn't speak to it to a full way or got some things wrong, some things that were super problematic. I go back and forth on this because I think it's... I'd be interested in your take on this too, Jordan, but I think it's kind of a hard thing to do when the sole vector by which you measure a piece of art or an artist's worth is their political spectrum or like, are they a good person or a bad person? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's overall good for art. I don't know. Sure. I think it's important sometimes, like obviously, well, maybe you don't want to give this serial rapist guy royalties for a remix to Ignition, things of that nature. But that being said, we do want to address things, maybe elephants in the room, or potential problems with the things that we talk about.
Great.
So, with Five Iron Frenzy, two things that come to mind.
Yes.
And again, we might get some stuff wrong in this episode, and I apologize if we do. One, Reese Roper did write a blog post that he then deleted called Why I'm Voting for the Worst Pile of Human Excrement in America. And it was about why he's voting for Trump.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
So counter.
Yeah, right?
All of their music.
Weird.
And all their output.
Yeah.
And it's deleted and no one captured it before it was deleted.
But
no
it existed briefly.
It existed briefly. And
was it on there, the Five Iron Frenzy website?
No,
was
it was on his personal
blog.
Website. Okay. And it was basically talking about like, well, Hillary sucks. I hate Donald Trump, but Hillary, though, you know, it was one of those like
bad take.
Kind of
very bad,
just a very bad take.
I mean, it wasn't rah-rah Trump.
Sure,
we'll
you know there
that.
Are worse.
He's good.
Yeah, good.
And then the other thing that even despite a pretty good streak of social awareness and consciousness, certainly compared to their peers in Christian music, they did do that song Fahrenheit on All the Hype.
Yeah,
All the Hype That Money Can Buy. That was about Freddie Mercury. It was kind of a self-examining song about homophobia. There's a lyric in which Reese Roper said, like, oh, I thought, speaking about the young version of him, where he's like, you know, I thought he had it coming when he died of AIDS. And I remember calling him a queer in middle school. And I think it's meant to say, like, oh, man, I was super judgmental of this guy, and I was a fool. But then it still does call, like, homosexuality and gender fluidity, like, it's still a sin. And so it's like, love the sinner, hate the sin stuff.
Boy.
So that being said, and then, you know, just generally, although this isn't that problematic, but, you know, a lot of the band members have, you know, flown in and out of faith at different times.
Sure.
A lot of them have just said, like, well, I don't care about Christianity that much, or I'm not into it, or I'll leave the band because
I'm just here to play baritone sax.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I think two of them are atheists now, or like openly atheists.
Yeah.
Well, Andy and I think Scott.
Oh, speaking of one of the members, one personal connection I have to the band as well, Sonny Johnston. He plays guitar in Five Iron Frenzy. He also played guitar in the worship band of the church I attended for many years, Reality LA, here in Los Angeles.
Wow, okay.
And so I knew him a little bit from that. I knew him and his
he does not still play for Reality LA.
He does not, no.
Well, I was going to say, maybe I'll go and get some stuff signed.
Sonny Johnston.
Johnston, thank you. So that's just covering our bases a little bit.
We are.
Just letting you know, we're aware of it, and we may talk about it more. This does make it sound...
problematic.
I feel protected. Oh,
I feel
like
protected too.
I feel like I can speak my heart.
Yeah, and you know, we want to be responsible when we're talking about these things.
Yeah.
So let's get into the album at hand, friends. This is The Old West, the lead track on their first
album. I can't believe this is what they open with.
What?
I just, no, it's just because it's so like,
bold,
yeah. So political.
So sure. This is a song about the evils of American genocide.
Yeah.
And colonialism.
But with a slur, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Doing okay.
I find on this album his vocals are mixed a little.
They
low.
Are, yeah, they're really right. low. You can't understand him.
I
really.
Had to look up all the lyrics.
Yeah.
But those harmonies, man.
Yeah.
Like musically, they're very tight. What'd you think as a 500 Frenzy virgin, Caroline? What'd you think of this song?
Okay, I'm gonna lay my cards on the table.
Let's see them.
I understand why you would like this band.
Goodbye, listeners.
This album felt like borderline unlistenable to me. Like, I'm so sorry. Yes. Ska music sounds, it sounds like listening to like full volume polka music to me, like for 5 hours
there's
straight.
There's some polka elements.
Yeah, that's not incorrect.
Yeah, and like, that's fine if that's your taste, but for me, I want to stab my head.
Right, no, I'll take it, yeah.
I can intellectually see where you're coming from. So hearing this, but that said, I was like, their lyrics, I was like, wow, this is surprisingly aware, you know, and talking, again, about a social issue that I don't think any other Christian band I've heard has touched very much. And maybe they talked about racism, but to just be like, yeah, what we did to the Native Americans was like genocide, and we shouldn't have done that.
And specifically tying it to, because that's, you know, it's like, oh, he read Howard Zinn, good for you. But specifically tying it to Christian culture and Manifest Destiny stuff.
Yes,
and like, oh, we're doing this in the name of Christ.
Oh,
we conquer
and
nations in the name of Christ.
In that, too, he says, like, we try to win them for Christianity or something, too, right?
Yeah. And, and I think then there's the kind of modern guy. There's like the modern guy verse where he's like, you know, I am always shouting when I go outside, people should repent now or they're going to die. You know, like, saying, but don't we do something similar?
Yeah. You know, okay. So. Yeah.
I feel like like a consistent theme throughout this album, and most of their stuff is just self-reflectiveness.
Right.
In a way that we haven't really encountered with most of the, if not any of the artists that we've talked about in this show. I remember even, but you always kind of long for the moment where it's like, hey, I'm a screw up too, and I'm guilty of this as well, and I also blah 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 blah.
Or even just like, hey, my tone is weird, you know, when I talk about this stuff. Or sometimes I realize I may sound disingenuous, but I'm not. You know, like I don't know. That's something I will say for this band or this album. Was I got the feeling of like they know how odd it sounds sometimes to talk about Christianity or even to evangelize or whatever, or just like you know, the ignorance of Christianity sometimes.
Yeah, I think their trajectory, even when sometimes the end product is like, and there's like a few novelty songs on here. Like
Arnold and Willis and Mr. Drummond.
Combat, which I like Arnold and Willis and Mr. Drummond, because I love Facts of Life. So I was like, I love any ska band that's going to name check Mrs. Garrett. But like Combat Chuck, that's just like nonsense.
Yeah. Combat Chuck is it's part of a rich history of
tapestry.
Punk and ska of this time.
Yes.
In writing a song about a guy you know.
Yes. Porn named Glass.
Yeah, some crazy guy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, Jake, Johnny Quest thinks we're sellouts. You know, no effects. I'm telling Tim. Just songs about a guy you know.
Totally.
But I do not like this song.
I like Arnold and Willis and Mr. Drummond better. I just, even when you can't make out what he's saying, or it's just like seems indecipherably fast, I just like sing along
it
to the horn like
so
da, da,
fast.
And like when and I like when I'm listening to this alone, I'm like, oh boy, these are really good. And but I like when I'm around someone who did not grow up with this, I'm like, oh, I see why this is really
you're
annoying.
Like, oh, I hear it now.
And the guy's like not singing good.
Yeah,
I think a lot of these like riffs are like what when people think of goofy 90s ska music, like this is sounds so of the time. Like this could not have been recorded in any other year other than 1996.
Sure. When we talked about the OC Supertones, I said ska music is like the class clown of music or of rock, you know? And in some ways it's lovable for that too.
Sure,
like, just how silly.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
And as much as artists want to be like, well, we see our music as a ministry and we see it as an opportunity to spread a good message or positive, like Jordan's history is a testament to the fact of like, oh yeah, this made me feel positive and not alone, and this vehicle for this art was successful at doing those things sure, that yeah. most artists aspire to do with their stuff. So it is effective in that sense. So I find that fascinating on that level. I find the level of criticism of American values fascinating throughout the album,
yeah.
too.
Well, it's weird because they're singing so fast, and it feels like they can sneak in a lot of, like, sure. message into the song without sounding weird.
Sure.
Tonally.
Yeah, like, this is an interesting song because it is, like, yeah, I mean, there are so many, like, anti-America songs on this. Not anti-America, but maybe anti-blind patriotism?
Yeah, that's it. It's not America sucks. It's just, like, let's think about this
sure.
for a second.
Are yeah. we? Yes, sure.
That said, I don't know if you looked at the lyrics of this song. The message I got from it was, I don't believe in American exceptionalism or patriotism because, not because it's like ignorant, but because it's selfish.
Oh,
like
sure,
it's like
right.
self-seeking, basically, uh-huh. to like want to pursue like your own thing.
Right.
Which I was like, get out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, but I think that like, yeah, it's like those were, I feel like these were sentiments I was hearing in secular music at the time, and I liked hearing them here as
well. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that Christianity could contain that spectrum of thought,
yes.
which pre-internet saturation only existed in these small pockets where it's like, oh, I heard this kind of interesting weird ska band talk about,
sure,
you know, maybe criticizing American exceptionalism. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you can download a podcast, read a blog,
right.
someone on Twitter sure. who like can talk about and speak to those things. But sure. before it was like finding water in the desert of artists like this. Did you guys... I think this definitely falls into the category that Caroline was alluding to before. It's just like, this is just chaos.
Madness.
Do you know what this is?
Listen to this sound.
Do you know what this is, though?
No.
This is not a Five Round Frenzy song. This is a cover song.
Oh, I didn't know that. What is it a cover of?
It's a cover of Everywhere I Go by Amy Grant.
What?
Wow.
This is the original
New
song.
Facts.
From her 80s album, Unguarded.
Amy.
I know, they lack Amy Grant.
Did you guys listen to Cool Enough For You off of this album?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I really thought this was funny.
Yeah.
It's like a diss track, but for people who don't like ska. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's like within the community. It's
right.
like
this
punk
is so
people
navel-gazing.
That came to their ska show said that like,
ska or
but they were punk enough. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, no one cares about this beef.
Yeah,
it's a preemptive cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is also in the tradition of like songs about our music scene.
Exactly,
there's a song about a guy we know, and there's a song about something that happened
How
to us once at
good.
This one show.
Like one person was like, I don't know if ska is cool.
Okay, yeah. And yeah, no, I think this song has a little bit of a statement like riff in it later, in that like, I think this is anti like punk guys who are too cool for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a really fast like mosh part later in it, which I'm like, but then they're like, yeah, but like, you fucking want a circle pit to this, don't you?
Yeah.
I know you want to.
Let's throw some fists.
And it's like really good, anyway.
Because one lyric is like, that smug look on your face, your nose up in the air, your patches say you're open-minded, but still you couldn't bear. Some punk thrown in with ska, you said it wouldn't work. Well, yeah. You can take your Vespa home, because ska made you a jerk.
To me, that's so emblematic of, this sounds like a young man or woman who wants to do the right thing and be good, but they're still very young.
And
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there's literally one line. It was like, but we're justified with God, so we don't care.
Right.
It was like, God thinks we're cool. Yeah, like if you really didn't bother you, like you wouldn't write an entire song about it. Clearly,
sure.
You're a little upset.
My favorite song on the album.
God knows that Operation Ivy is a perfectly credible punk band who also blended their sound with ska.
Okay, we didn't really...
God likes his cake.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the ska bands had Twitter back then?
Oh my God.
Beefs. So the beef.
The diss track. Oh,
sure.
SoundCloud
beef. I'd be interested in that, actually.
Yeah.
Some of these petty fights.
I want to listen to a flowery song. Which is their most listened to song on Spotify?
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's the one that has over a million streams.
I would have guessed it would be Old West. That seems like
their
like,
most listened to?
That I would have guessed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
This was more prevalent to me because this was on the live album, and I remember seeing this music video that is so So oh, 90s. Yeah. He looks like the lead guy from Smash Mouth in the music video for this.
Sure.
Is them as like a square like poetry group, and then them also playing a ska group, and then the ska group overthrows the poetry
character.
Group.
Oh,
but they're all like dancing
it.
In sure. a suburban street. And it's very charming.
I'm sure it was in the time of like Dave Grohl putting on goofy outfits for sure. his music videos.
Yeah.
And like, we should also do that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he looks like Ness from Nintendo in the first.
Oh yeah, sure.
So yeah, it's good. But I loved this song so much, not necessarily from this album. I loved it from the live album, so much so that my screen name on eBay when I was a kid was a flowery guy.
Oh boy.
No way.
To which my mom said, "Kevin, are you sure you want it to be a flowery guy?" I was like, "Yeah, what's wrong with that?" I'm sure she
like
was.
Everyone on here will know it's a reference to a Five Iron Frenzy song. Everyone will know.
eBay loves ska. Yeah. Always will. But I'm sure she, I think maybe she thought, "Oh, a flowery guy. Does. Is that like a gay signifier?"
Yeah, now is he going to be like pray to all the flowery men?
How do I tell my 10-year-old son? How do I explain this in terms
he'll
understand?
Like, stop, but you know, if you want to be flowery, that's fine.
Yeah, but also flowery guy searching for hot pollen.
What were you even looking for on eBay?
Garfield
like
merch.
Bruce's shorts?
No, this was pre-Bruce. This was the like truly the only band I really, really loved before Bruce Springsteen.
Wow.
It really was.
This is special for you too.
It is special. Yeah, it reminds me a lot of, and again, it seems like such a long time because when you're a kid, everything does. But this was probably like a year or two.
Something very amazing about this band as well is they are so big. There are so many members in this band.
Yeah,
and I think
sure.
only like two of them ever swapped out. Mm-hmm. Like otherwise, they all stayed together for years, you know, which is a feat.
And I think
also that means like your cut after the show was so tiny.
God,
like
I know,
eight,
right? I'm
know?
Sure Scott became unprofitable so fast.
Absolutely.
Just and if you're the Mighty Mighty Boston, you got to pay the guy who dances too.
Oh, yeah.
No, I listened to an interview with Reese Roper today. He was talking about like, well, you know, in our 20s, we could all just take home $1,100 a month and live on it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now it's a little harder. He's like, I don't recommend hiring horn players just, or I don't right. recommend. Because they split it eight ways evenly.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
good for them.
Maybe get some ringers for the horns. But at the same time, it's been the same horn players for the last.
Yeah.
And they took a pretty lengthy hiatus. And now they only play like three or four shows a year. Reese Roper works as a nurse in Virginia.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So it's not like this is our only thing forever.
Yeah.
Like, it, even with the. And their Kickstarter was the biggest Kickstarter success at the time. That it occurred
yeah,
in 2011.
Huge.
Bigger than that potato salad?
I think that's what unseated
wow.
them.
Wow, love those days.
I mean, it probably did. But yeah, this
remember
is,
when that's what the internet was for?
Was
everybody kicking
time.
In for some potato salad?
That was hilarious.
Now we got a potato salad run in the country.
Yeah, you said it. We're standing up and clapping.
You.
We're kneeling at
I'm
Kevin.
Not always looking for the clapter, but I like
Boy,
it.
Yeah, by the, you know, by the judging by the color of his skin, it's more of a sweet potato salad.
Oh,
I think.
All right.
Have you seen this guy?
A flaming hot commander in chief.
Our yam in chief.
The chorus of this song, which I didn't realize until later in life, is based on a very, very old hymn from the
1600s. Oh.
Yeah, when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, wait.
Because it's praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yep.
Nate said they would play this in their youth group, and that this was like a fun worship song where they could get a little goofy on it, you know?
Oh, sure.
As a worship song in the youth group?
Yes, yeah. Well, this makes sense, right? Like, it's still... You know, it's like, well, it's a worship song, but we're going to play a ska song.
Oh, yeah.
Song, you know?
The lyrics to the hymn, Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow, were written
Praise
by
God
Thomas Kinn in 1674.
Flow.
Or actually, the final verse in a much longer hymn called Awake My Soul and With the Sun. I love this song. To me, this is the song where, like, even with, because I wasn't into this album.
Right.
I guess I didn't listen to it when I was a kid. But returning to this, I'm still like, it hits the soft little Christian boy spot in me, I guess, where I wanted to register eBay names and tribute.
Someone was trying to hit the soft Christian boy spot and they saw your name.
I was going to say, even beyond this album, I do appreciate them pre-Arrested Development for incorporating the Final Countdown intro into their live version of One Girl Army.
Oh, yeah.
In 1999. This was the funniest.
Oh,
cutting edge. Cutting edge.
It felt cutting edge.
Sure.
It's just funny, you know?
A 10-year-old in Texas, and he's doing his,
like
stripers. Because before this, he goes, to hell with the devil!
So funny.
He does a huge
Is this on
scream.
The live album, or is this the recording?
This is the live album.
Okay.
And you can hear him scream right here. Which is like,
goofy.
Right. Sure. But One Girl Army, I love that song.
Good song.
I wonder if I could play a song for Caroline to...
That would make
yeah,
me like
it. Yeah,
is there
like something it? We could... Is there a way we can, we
please,
flip?
Please, give well, it a try. I do I'm
find,
open to
I do
it.
Find upbeats and beatdowns as a whole to be the most punkish.
Sure. It's and it's really of the time.
It's
I mean,
very
it
rough.
Sounds... Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me do... You know what? I'm going to...
How about that? I'll suggest one and then you suggest one and I bet I could find one.
Okay. I'm... I'll suggest the first
and
one.
And then at the end we can listen to Blue Comb 78.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
like that song a lot.
Guys, don't fight over me.
You're married.
Yeah.
This is a song called Dandelions from Quantity is Job One. I think this is a very pretty song.
Christmas time.
In a field of yellow flowers on underneath the sun, bluest eyes that spark with lightning, boy with shoes undone. He is young, so full of hope, reveling in tiny dreams, filling up his arms with flowers, bright forgiving and a queen, running to her yes. beaming bright while crazy.
Tolerable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't like this style of singing
sure.
he's doing.
It's unpleasant.
It's not
intentionally
great.
Unpleasant.
I like it.
No, I do. I think for this kind of
no,
thing,
it's weirdly
he has a great
young
voice,
but, coming out of yeah. what I know to be like a 35-year-old man.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, not at the time, though.
Who cares? But anyway, this is nicer. It feels a lot less like frantic than
right.
the other stuff. So,
and this
yeah.
is a song about a little boy picking flowers for his mom and how it's like our worship to God.
Sure.
And the aww. Key line is, they're about to say it, I think. Oh, no. You see flowers in these weeds about God,
aww,
which I find
sweet.
To be a very lovely piece of poetry.
Yeah, there's some good songwriting
yes.
in there.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then
yeah.
there's like, you know... Combat Chuck. What was your
Combat
nominee?
Chuck. Okay, so I realized. I mean, that I tapped out after the rap metal of Two Electric Boogaloo.
Sure.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Same. I'm with you. We've dropped at the exact same time.
You and me, buddy.
Yeah.
But I listened to. Okay, so they have a. Do you have the newish songs on there?
Yes.
So there is something they put out in 2015 called Between Pavement and Stars.
Okay.
And the first song on that is called Boomerang, and I'm like, whoa, this is kind of a banger. Anyways, so maybe we can listen to that.
Okay.
Maybe they've matured.
Yeah, I think this is like a little EP of outtakes from Engine of a Million Plus, their 2013 album. Let's take a listen.
It's a little more produced. It still kind of has the like ska vibe.
Flicker.
You turn it up.
Maybe a,
that's
you
a
know.
A totally different voice.
Yeah, yeah. While our bones are cracking dismally. Did you hear what's coming back? Boogaloo
bangs. Now it's a batting ass. Race of glass. Different.
Different.
To me, if I heard this, I would never think Five Iron Friends.
Oh, yeah.
If I heard it out of context, I wouldn't recognize it.
The horns are so good on this.
The horns are very good on this, I think.
I love hearing horns in a rock
yeah.
band.
And this is kind
ooh,
of a
yes.
little dance part.
Hell yeah. This is
anyway.
Good.
Anyway.
Hey! Okay, I want to do one more.
You convinced
one
me.
More.
This is good.
One more.
Okay.
Not from Upbeats and Beatdowns. This is a song called Ugly Day.
This is all the hype as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is your favorite album, you would say.
It might be. Either this or our newest album ever.
Yeah. Our newest album ever is very good.
Yeah. Or Kingdom of the Dinosaurs. I'll play that after this. I don't know just how this happened. We'll wait till the chorus.
We should play I'm Dancing for the Dinosaurs. For Jordan.
I don't know what that is.
Just
you'll
it'll
love
make
it.
You feel good again.
Okay.
Felt the brush of angels' wings and your voice echoed in my head.
No.
Shaking your head.
No, sir, I'm sorry.
This still is so close to that goofy ska vibe, you know? Yeah. It is so, like, it's a little more restrained, but it just has that sound. It has that.
Uh-huh.
And I think if you're.
If you like
not
that,
on board
this is like
that,
great.
You're
yes.
just like, I, yeah. yeah
I bet
yeah,
it's yeah. literally the upbeat guitar.
Right. I think it is that guitar.
That. And I bet if you took that out, some of these would be more palatable to a larger
perhaps,
audience.
Perhaps.
But for us cool kids,
yeah,
kid,
I know.
You can dislike the sound. That's fine. But let's do this. Let's get to our final thoughts.
Okay.
About upbeats and beatdowns. The way this works, Jordan, is we're going to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down in the form of a holy toast or a holy roast. Holy toast, we send it up to heaven where the angels will be toasting it till kingdom come.
Yeah.
Or, holy roast, we give it the thumbs all the way down.
What's that sound cue going to be?
Nice. Yeah.
With the devil!
Is that Warrant?
What's that?
Warrant? Striper. Who is that?
It is Striper.
Striper.
You got it, sir.
Striper. I barely know her.
Yeah. Oh.
All right.
Is that the first time you've done that?
That is the first time I've done
really
that.
That's really good.
Thank you for a very generous laugh.
I love it.
You know, this sound is too dated, but that joke, timeless, Jim, is
timeless.
Timeless. I'm so sorry. I have to give this a roast purely out of my own taste.
I get it.
But I toast their mission in general. I toast Jeff the girl. Man, must have been a tough spot.
Sure.
So much dude energy. I would like to read just a real quick story and tell me if it reminds you of anyone else.
Oh, no.
Oh, Andrew Verdecchio. This is one of the band members.
Oh, yes.
They were talking about, like, what kind of guy they are in the band.
Sure.
And he said, my role in the band was to keep things interested. I am the antithesis of Keith and Dennis, I think. On a social level, I love practical jokes. I love getting to the hotel room before whoever is sharing it, the room with you. Getting there first, waiting at the door with my dick hanging out.
Oh, boy.
And saying, hey, what's up? Stuff like that.
He seems fun.
Wait, is he a Louis
type? He
seems
fun.
I'm sure it was just the other men in the band, but we got a dick hanger, okay? And we just need to be open about that. We should have put that in the bass zone.
Sure. I didn't know about the dick. I didn't know about the dick hanging.
We got to go back to Grand Slam Choir.
You better roast this or else. No, I'm kidding. It's fine. I just thought that was really funny.
No,
like a weird story to
bring
up.
Where was that interview conducted?
It's a really long interview that they gave to Westworld or something. And it's
weird.
Like it's an oral history of the band, as they call it. But anyway.
They gave an interview to a TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That don't make no sense.
He talking to a robot?
Well, he did their cowboy song. But that said, I think it's, you know, it's fine.
Okay.
But holy roast.
Yeah.
It's fine. Holy roast. We turn to Jordan.
Fair. Fair, I'll
Thank
say.
You for being very kind to me.
Absolutely. I get it. So, yeah. I think as you proved with the dick hanging out story, that maybe some of this does not hold up to modern scrutiny. Perhaps the band, when they were recording, we didn't know what was going to happen in America politically, and that one of them would grow up to be a Trump supporter, a Trump supporting nurse in Virginia. That's tough. And, you know, I think if you, maybe a close read of some of those lyrics would present some stuff that I disagreed with. Mm-hmm. But as far as like overall net positive or negative for the culture, I think these guys at the time were doing something really interesting, which was having a Christian rock band that was critical of Christianity and that maybe was suspicious of some of the jingoistic flag waving that comes with Christianity. And I think they were really singing from the heart, and I think they were maybe even about some things that would alienate their Christian music audience, which was takes some guts. And they were very important to me as a kid because I definitely saw in them some kindred spirits who were kind of going through some of the same things I was, asking some of the same questions I was. And yeah, boy, as far as that mid-90s ska punk sound, I understand hating it like it is caffeinated polka music. But boy, howdy, I've got a sweet spot for it. And I think just like as far as pure grooves, riffs, horn lines, and nasal vocals. It doesn't get a lot better than that. So a tentative, qualified Holy Ghost.
A Holy Ghost.
Ghost.
A
That's
third
good.
Option.
That's good. What?
A toast to a the
holy
ghost
toast.
Upstairs.
Excuse me. A toast to the ghost.
I love Holy Ghost.
A Holy Ghost. That's
give
a third
a toast
thing.
To the ghost. It's yeah. Casper's bachelor party, and we got to give a toast to the ghost.
All yeah. Right.
Well,
last day is a free man, Casper.
You're gonna be not so friendly in a couple of months. You just mark my words, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
He doesn't think it's he doesn't think it's funny. He's like, I love my wife.
I love her. I'm excited.
Joy.
This is great. I'm not going to be friends
just,
with you.
Yeah. Because you had to marry your high school girlfriend because you knocked her up, Paul.
And you. I don't even know why I invited you, Combat Chuck.
You're just the guy we know.
I think this is by far out of their first, like, truly ska era,
sure.
pre-Electric Boogaloo album. Yeah. I think this is their weakest mm-hmm. collection of songs. I think it's too many songs. It's four, even though there's 16 tracks.
There's some fat.
There's some fat.
There's some fat.
I told
oh, you.
You
don't think the 34 song album is their worst?
Wait, oh, Jesus of Nazareth?
Songs. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth.
That's just like B-sides and outtakes. That's like a box.
First for the fans.
Yeah, okay.
It's fans
yeah.
only.
I guess
that's
so.
Not a canonical release.
Yeah, that's like one of those Bob Dylan bootleg box sets where it's like, hey, do you want to hear a 19th version of Visions of Joanna?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
man.
We got it. This is by far their weakest, I think, of that first era. That said, I think, for reasons that we've talked about thus far, they have a very unique heart and trajectory for the industry and a care and concern for what they were doing and how they used the platform and how they saw music as a tool, as a weapon, as helpful, as healing in some ways. They're very young, very rambunctious in a way that I think is obnoxious at times
sure.
and lends itself to the nonsense of third world think tank, which I could not make heads or tails of.
Yeah, third like world think tank is very weird.
He's a terrorist, or what's the
oh
message
boy.
Here? Maybe
but
I'm just
yeah. There's also
it.
A cowboy part to that too. Maybe too, you know what? Here's a criticism.
Hey,
maybe
y'all.
Too many cowboy songs.
Yeah,
yeah, that is very weird. I like the chorus of that song a lot, but mm-hmm. the weird like saloon scene before that is very strange.
I mean, it's wow. cowboy appropriation. We should talk about that.
Sure,
more
let's do.
But anyway. that said. I think that uniqueness and kind of purity of spirit, as well as like the inextricable nostalgic attachment for me to my eBay namesake, a flowery song. Mm-hmm. I got to give it toast.
I love when they put their dicks out.
I get. Oh, no.
And
I
you
don't
love it.
I
you
don't love that.
Love
no, I hope they did not harass. Oh,
surprise dick.
That's very sad.
I'm kidding. It's
before
fine.
Next thing you know, we're going to hear a bad story about Carmen or something.
Keep it in your...
Carmen? No way.
Oh, just don't say anything bad about McGee from McGee and Me.
Oh, McGee is great.
Okay.
McGee's weird as hell.
He's creepy.
He's very scary.
Does McGee have some skeletons in his closet?
Hashtag McGee, too.
Just his general vibe is bad.
I think... I feel like we're gonna see a New York Times expose about
hey,
McGee and Me.
Hey, big fan of McGee,
day.
Too, by the way. That was good.
But we're not the final word on this. You're the final word, dear listener. So go to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter. You can give a Beats and Beatdowns, a Holy Roast, a Holy Toast, or send it to Purgatory. You can send it to
the space between.
Oh, boy.
Another relic from the 90s. So
right.
Get out there. And
a different time.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
And we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Great.
Reese Roper hated that drop.
It's not funny.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm dancing with the dinosaur,
living my life with conscience and conviction.
What a nightmare we've put ourselves in. Have you listened to Kid Cudi? No, but I know Dancing with the Dinosaur.
Gotta keep on dancing with the dinosaur.
So I take you back to young Jordan Morris.
That was my dream. That was my dream. To dance with a dinosaur. And then be killed and eaten by one.
Right.
I would consider it an honor.
What a great way to go.
And a pleasure.
Love to be killed by a dinosaur.
Oh, same.
Oh, that would be great.
Dinosaurs are so cool.
God, they're so great.
They're just like a cool monster that existed before time. Yeah. And they were real.
Yes.
Greg. Oh, what was his name?
Greg.
The dad.
Oh, Rod Gaspar.
Rod Gaspar, yeah.
Yeah, Rod. Uh-huh. Living a dinosaur-less, joyless world.
Rod.
Get out of here.
I like to think he came around later in
yeah,
life.
Yeah, maybe he did.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. But now let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to a different kind of space. Jordan.
Ooh, I like this.
Imagine you're back in your Orange County youth group. It's a special extended worship night.
Sure, it's time to relax and masturbate.
Yeah, you need to de-stress.
Everyone's pulling an Andy V and Five Iron Frenzy and pulling their D's out.
Different times.
Listen, Jordan, on this show, we're not here to promote ourselves or plug our projects. We're here to lift them up as a worthy sacrifice to the Lord. So we do that by saying what we're working on in our social media handles. But we lift them up to Christ.
That's right.
And Caroline, we start with you for that.
Something in secular culture I enjoyed this weekend. I saw Ocean's 8. It was exactly what I wanted it to be. Oh my God, the glamour, the outfits, the Rihanna. Beautiful. I understand it's not a perfect movie. I had a good time. We saw First Reformed together, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a legit great movie. So I'd really lift that up. And we actually are going to talk about it in a second service coming up.
Yes, we might have a hot take about it.
Hot take.
I've been looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, it's great. And you can lift me up at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram.
At Caroline's Farts. Jordan, we turn it to you. What do you want to lift up?
Well, as far as my piece of secular entertainment that I enjoyed recently, I saw a movie called Hearts Beat Loud. It is a two-hander. That is starring Kiersey Clemons and Nick Offerman. They play a father-daughter team. She's a high school kid having a little summer romance in that summer between high school and college. And he's a kind of an aging indie rock guy whose record store is going out of business.
Okay.
And they decide,
I love the poster for it.
It's a great poster.
Yeah,
it's
good.
A great trailer.
Wait, what happens?
And they decide to write a song together. And so they have a little band in that summer before she goes off to college.
Yeah. Cute.
I don't know if she goes out to college. Maybe that's a spoiler. I'm not going to say.
Ooh.
But it's a delightful movie. They're like That Thing You Do. It has a great scene of someone hearing their song played for the first time.
I love that.
Two charming leads. The music is really cool. I liked it a lot.
Hell yeah. And you can check out Jordan's new podcast, Bubble.
Yes. I just started a narrative podcast, a sci-fi comedy. If you enjoy Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you enjoy Portlandia,
ooh,
this is a
fun melding of the two.
Great.
It's on MaximumFun.org. It runs for 8 weeks, and you can get an episode right now. It's called Bubble, and it's wherever you get your podcast.
Hell yeah.
Featuring past guest Tawny Newsome.
Yes.
Past guest Travis McElroy.
Yes.
Oh, Travis.
Wait, he's in it?
Travis is in it.
Ooh, what a great group. A
lot of fun, folks.
Lovely.
It's a lot of fun.
Did he do Shakespeare in it?
He did no Shakespeare.
Okay.
He plays a guy with a mutant beard.
Oh, man. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Where can people lift you up on
socials?
Oh,
at Jordan_Morris on Twitter.
Jordan_Morris.
Yeah.
And watch Unikitty.
And watch Unikitty on the Cartoon Network.
That's one of my favorite one-word impressions is because I went to see the first Lego movie with a friend of mine, a sweet friend of mine, who had her voice.
Oh, yeah.
IRL.
It's
that's one of my favorite one-word impressions is, sorry. Sorry. You don't have time, all right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, were you there too?
No.
Yeah, I think you were. Lego movie? Arclight?
I don't remember anything.
We went to get
mom. Oh, it was a great time. I loved that memory with my sweet pal Kev.
I snuck in cookie butter and we ate it straight out of the jar at the Pasadena Arclight.
That is some youth group style.
I kissed you
right there.
You loved that cookie butter for a while.
Yeah, that was during
eating
my...
Eating it out of the jar, though?
My magic...
That was during your butter phase.
My magic Kevin XXL days.
Oh, boy.
Not XXL.
You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter. Ugh. That was the grossest I felt ever saying that for whatever reason.
Why?
I don't know.
It's fine.
I will lift up. Speaking of Rob Marshall, I saw Chicago for the first time in like 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
The movie?
The movie.
Oh.
I saw it 4 times when it came out.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. My hot take, it's the best picture winner of the last 25 years.
Okay.
It is!
No,
if you
it's
look
not.
At those best picture winners, they're like,
you think it's better than Moonlight?
I think it is a better watch than Moonlight.
Yeah, maybe a little more fun.
I think Moonlight's a better movie. But Chicago, female leads, doesn't take itself too seriously, not pretentious, fun, figured out how to do the musical format.
Little John C. Reilly cameo.
Hey, I'm Mr. Cellophane. Yeah, they figured it out. They did a great job.
I think about that Razzle Dazzle number all the time.
Oh, yeah, that became like a meme, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll lift up Chicago.
Lift up Chicago. Okay.
That's my cold take.
Coldest take. Ice cold.
The movie that won Best Picture is pretty good.
Should I start a podcast called The Coldest Take where I'm like, guys, gather around. I think racism sucks. Everyone's like, okay.
Yay! Who's good? The Beatles.
Get out of here.
I'm going to say The Beatles, one of the most influential bands of the 20th century.
Pitchforks. We're going to take them tonight.
If you're talking side dishes, you can't beat fries.
Fries are good.
Fries!
Now, I think salads are healthier for you, but fries, more fun to eat.
If you want
to
indulge, choose fries.
And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Join the Facebook group, Good Christian Fans. Join the discussion there. You can leave us a review on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. For every review you leave, we have incentivized it and preyed upon your goodwill and good-natured souls by donating $1 to charity for every review you leave.
In your guilt complex.
That's
if
right.
You don't review. You're taking money from charity. No, you're not.
That's right. You're depriving that charity. And listen to our Good Christian Fun Spotify playlist where you can find every song we've ever featured on the show. Jordan Morris, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Thank you for bringing your knowledge and your enthusiasm.
Shucks. I was looking forward to this and it did not disappoint.
What a blast. Were you into the insiders at all?
No, I think the insiders suck.
Five-Hour Frenzy seems to be the best out of that three.
Yeah.
IMO. Now, I want to give you dealer's choice. We always end with a song. What Five Iron Frenzy song would you like to end
the show with? Oh, let's do Bluecomb 78. I think I alluded to it. I think it's a real fun song. It's kind of a goofy song about childhood that gets a little poignant at the end.
That's right. All right. This is Bluecomb 78 by Five Iron Frenzy from our newest album ever. We'll see you next week.
And all of Pod's people said...
Oh, shoot!
Amen!
Amen!
Wait, do you want to do it? Have I been...
Sometimes.
Haven't been mansplaining the prayer?
I'm
sorry.
<don't> care.
All right, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Summer of 1978. My my sister and I in the backseat just
wait. Oh, hey, y'all. It's Amy Grant. Wow. Well, it has been quite a month, right? Dad's month and stuff. Okay, but Kevin and Carolyn, I don't know why they can't do these themselves. I'm like a multiple time Dove and Grammy winning artist. I've sold literally millions of records, and I'm doing these like outro bumpers for a moderately, mediocrely successful podcast. Like, what's the deal? Are times that tough for me that I gotta do this and make this work? You know what? But it is my pleasure, and it is the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it is my joy to keep doing these. So, next week on GCF for the grand finale of Dad's Month. Oh, you know Vince is a great dad. And you know what? Even that first guy I was married to is a good dad. Gary, I want to say. Yeah, he's a good dad, too. I think I have kids by both of them. But next week on GCF for the grand finale of Dad's Month, it is going to be the ultimate daddy band, which is Phillips, Craig, and Dean, PC, and D. Oh, and y'all know how much I love... No, never mind. That's a little off. That's a little off brand for Amy. Yeah, let's scratch that from the record. So next week, that's what they're doing. So listen to some Phillips, Craig, and Dean if y'all want to follow along. Or honestly, you don't have to. They explain it all right on the episodes. Okay. Anyway, I'm gonna email Kevin Caroline and see like, you know, maybe I can get a cut of the ad sales or their patron or whatever. Cause this is ridiculous. I'm an icon. I'm literally an icon, and I'm doing these bumpers. So this is ridiculous. But again, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it's my joy to do this for y'all. Okay, that's next week on GCF.
That was a HeadGum podcast.